We said that they hoped to stifle or redirect our continuous forward thrust to freedom, our longing to live our lives free of direction, scrutiny, judgment, and punishment, free of any and all forms of coercion. And as a natural, earth-given longing in us, it cannot be done. Their longing to, their hope to stifle us unless they redefine freedom. This moment is heavy laden with this political strategy of co-optation, a necessity of those who want to rule, a strategy closely aligned with their absolute favorite, the lose-lose. If you're opposed to globalization in their scenarios, then you're furthering fascists. If you want to fight fascism, you must protect the state from them. With the vote of Britons to exit the European Union, the power guys have gone into overdrive with their pounding in these messages and definitions. Because authentic freedom must not be considered an option. We are allowed the choice between a definition of freedom as helping your state keep you safe or helping your state keep out immigrants. Here's an example from France's far-right National Front. A spokesperson recently invited by the New York Times to bend our ears with her BS. Quote, Britain decided to cast off from the European Union and reclaim its independence among the world's nations. British voters understood that only one question was being asked. Do we want an undemocratic authority ruling our lives, or would we rather regain control over our destiny? Brexit is, above all, a political issue. It's about the free choice of a people deciding to govern itself. Even when it's touted by all the propaganda in the world, a cage remains a cage, and a cage is unbearable to a human being in love with freedom. As opposed to that state marine, substitute the state for the cage, because the state is the ultimate containment strategy. We're going to be thinking more about that, the state, because one of the questions I raised 3.5 years ago in that excerpt from the December 2nd, 2012 show. These were just questions I raised in that excerpt. I said, no state wants to stay on the bottom, so doesn't this play into patriotism? And so we have to talk about this, get clear on this issue of the state. Does claiming the nation, is that, and this was, again, this was when we discussed Antonio Gramsci, his point as well, you know, but then we had this discussion with Emmanuel Wallerstein and Giovanni Arrighi and Terence K. Hopkins, which advanced the Antonio Gramsci discussion to say that, well, no, we cannot get to freedom by means of just claiming the state. But you see what I'm saying? These are issues we're going to have to keep going round and round until we get clear. The other, while I'm thinking about it, we'll put it out there, the other piece that I want to get clear on is the very last comment, which was that the pundit class, because it's been 3.5 years and my brain has been beat up on quite a bit. So I don't seem to have gotten my clarity on these questions I raised 3.5 years ago. But anyway, the last point was the pundit class is entirely internationalized and that they are the only thing that gives power its hold. Now, of course, with the now that I've understood that they have this arsenal of EMF weapons, which I was feeling then, but still trying to figure out. That statement reads to me insufficient, but I'm also not in that same headspace, as we say, And so I want to revisit that. Probably it'll pop up next week. The pundit class is entirely internationalized. It has contaminated from the perspective of power, the globe, and they are the only thing that gives power its hold. Now, I'm sure what I was thinking at that time was just that they are the chief buffers using the political strategy of Plato of having the sheepdogs manage the sheep, us. But it also relates to Marcuse's point, and it relates to our absolutely needing to defend artists and folks who had no idea when they were growing into their power that they were stumbling into a big mess called EMM, who have a little bit more, not a little bit, have a lot more reach than us average folk, that they become threats. And this is relates to Marcuse's point about the role of the, I guess you could say what they are termed now as knowledge workers in getting our freedom. I mean, we saw this in the Egyptian Revolution, and power is obviously all over this. It's probably working overtime to terrorize anyone in a position that they would consider a security risk from their perspective of their security, terrorize them into not even thinking about advocate taking their skills to a global arena to help we the people begin to develop a vision of an alternative to class, to power, to rule. But it happens regardless. I mean, you see signs of this. And as I said, the more it happens, it does become, there is a snowball effect. And because it takes so much energy for power to suppress us, they are obviously in terror right now, and I'm not exaggerating. As Emmanuel Wallerstein said once, referring to the power of the US, that it's a wounded tiger, not a paper one. Well, that applies much more to power, global power overall, right now, because the means of freedom for us are so within our reach. So we are going to have to think more about this matter of speech, of circulating new thoughts, of the importance of words themselves. And that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about it in an ongoing way, I feel certain.